almost heaven. West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to New Mexico. Great news out of New Mexico. There's a special congressional election for the seat held by Deb Haaland. And I found this hard to believe when it was announced, but I believe it's true. The first Native American person in the history of the United States to serve in a president's cabinet. It's hard to believe. Deb Haaland, she represented a district, Albuquerque, in New Mexico. And there had to be a special election. Our candidate, the Democratic Party candidate, Melanie Stansbury, she was running against another legislator, a guy who's fairly moderate, not a bad candidate at all. Now, this is a Democratic seat, so why am I getting all excited about this? Because people were obsessed with knowing the margin of victory of Melanie Stansbury, and God forbid if she lost, what would be the impact of that being on the 2022 elections? You see, these elections are like canaries in the coal mine. You know what happened in the old days when they didn't have detection equipment for dangerous gases? They lower a bird cage with a canary into it, into the mine. And then they pull it back up. And if the canary was dead, they wouldn't send men down to harvest coal, to mine coal. If the canary was alive, they would know that there weren't toxic gases down there that could kill the miners. Well, these races are canaries in the coal mine. And there was a lot of hand-wringing in the Democratic Party. This is supposedly a safe Democratic seat. And everybody thought, oh my God, Deb Haaland won it by 16 points when she was in Congress, 16 points. Biden won it over Trump by 23 points. He went 7 points better than Haaland. So people use that as a benchmark. And they said, well, if God forbid Melanie Stansbury loses, we're in tough shape in 2022. Because if we lose a seat like that, what's going to happen in truly marginal seats like Abigail Spansberger's in Richmond, Virginia, Elaine Luria in Norfolk, Virginia, where I was stationed in the Navy, and a lot of others around the country. And on the other hand, let's say she wins, but she wins by one percentage point, or two, or eight, or nine, or anything less than 16, which is Deb Haaland's margin, and it'll show erosion. It'll show that our base is unhappy. Our base is unhappy, and that portends great evil for us in 2022. Here's the great news. Melanie Stansbury won by about the same amount as Biden. He's plus 23. When I tuned into the race last night, she was ahead by 30 points, 63 to 33. That narrowed somewhat because, you know, depends on what neighborhood of Albuquerque comes in. But ultimately, she got about 60% of the vote, 60%. And it wasn't just 60-40. That's a 20-point margin, which is better than Deb Haaland by 4 points, 3 points lower than Biden. Although in a presidential race, you have a much higher turnout, obviously. And in a high turnout, that always helps the Democrats. But there were other candidates in there, a Libertarian, another one. So her margin over the Republican was about the same as Biden's over Trump. Our coalition held, our base held. And you can say, oh, well, this is a safe seat. And, you know, yeah, it's another vote for Pelosi, thank God, because we, you know, we're hurting in the House. We only have a couple of seat margin in Florida. Congressman Hastie died, Democrat, solid Democratic seat. And DeSantis won't call a special election. Sneaky, sneaky Governor DeSantis. Because as long as there's no election, there's not another Democratic congressman that Pelosi can add to her margin on close votes. This is the kind of chicanery that's going on around the country. But Melanie Stansbury brought it home, and they attacked her viciously. You know, the lie about defunding the police and all this sort of business. But she just tended to her knitting, and what she said was, it was very good. She campaigned on economic issues, and she stood up for coronavirus relief, for infrastructure, for the unemployment comp supplement. And that's very popular with people. Not only does it poll very popular with people, but down in New Mexico, they really needed it and could use it. And they did. They're heavily dependent on tourism and a lot of other things down there. And how much tourism do you think happened in New Mexico during the COVID year? So she won. The final tally will come in sometime today or tomorrow. But she got 60% of the votes, roughly, against three candidates. So that's a margin just like Biden's, even better than Deb Haaland, better than Deb Haaland. And that shows to me that our coalition is alive and well. So when we go into the 2022 elections, what's going to happen is I think we're going to hold our base. We're going to hold our own. And then when it comes to the purple districts, Richmond, Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, one in Oklahoma, there's one a little north of Chicago. They have them all over the country. We put up good, in Pennsylvania, there's one. You put up good candidates and we will hold what we won last time. And we may flip some of them because there are some strange rangers, strange rangers on the Republican side. Going to Russia. Russia just announced that it's deploying 20 new military units, whatever they mean by that, to counter NATO forces that are assembling in Europe. Now, let's step back a second and understand what's happening over there. Russia went into Ukraine. It just seized Crimea that belonged to Ukraine, just seized it. Nobody's willing to go to nuclear war over Crimea. They just grabbed it. How would you like them to grab, like, say, Wisconsin? And what? Suddenly, Russian is the official language. What? You can suddenly put in rubles? What about title to real estate? What about employment? What about government employment? It's very disruptive. 14,000 people also got killed, by the way, in Ukraine. 14,000 people. They did this in Georgia. I'm not talking about Atlanta, Georgia. I'm talking about Georgia, over adjacent to Russia. Trump was a slave of Putin. Trump was servile to Putin, subservient to Putin. He was up in Helsinki, Finland, at that conference, and somebody shouted from the crowd, do you think Putin hacked into the election? He looked at him, and then he looked back, and he said, no, I talked to him about that. He said he didn't do it, so why would he do it? And then in debate, he said it was probably some 400-pound guy in his mother's basement somewhere. You know, I mean, whenever he says stuff like that, he's talking about himself, by the way, because he was absolutely the one who was complicit in it. But as long as Trump is president, and if it ever happened again, we will not stand up to Putin. NATO will be demoralized and the EU will be demoralized. With Biden's leadership and Tony Blinken as a great Secretary of State, what we have done is we've gotten about 23 European countries, all of NATO and then some others, doing joint ops, joint operations over there, joint operations. We have thousands of NATO troops. You know, we're not in Russia, obviously, but in all of the Baltic area, in the Black Sea, some warships, American, French, British, and dozens of aircraft just flying over an international airspace. But it would be the equivalent. Think about this. Now think about this. If China, Russia, Pakistan, all deployed thousands of troops in Cuba, had dozens of aircraft flying over the Caribbean close to the Florida coastline, and had ships, warships, going in the Gulf of Mexico, going in the Caribbean and up the Atlantic coast, just a mile away from our international waters, where it starts. And Russia's already started that, by the way. The international boundary is about 13 miles, and they have a ship, an intelligence ship, off the coast of Hawaii right now that's just a mile beyond that. That's the effect of it psychologically. And unlike that hypothetical I just gave you, which ain't going to happen, This is 23 countries, the most civilized, wealthiest countries in the world. And Russia needs them. They needs their, need their capital. They need them to be customers for oil and gas. They need them to buy their debt when they issue it. And they're getting the message. They're getting the message. And this is all thanks to Joe Biden. It really is all thanks to Joe Biden. He has done it. He brought it home. And he's reinstated our alliance. Our alliance in NATO in particular. You may remember, and this is a matter, this is a legal question, but Trump threatened to pull us out of NATO, like he pulled us out of the climate accords. Well, NATO is not like the climate accords. Treaties, yes, the climate accord was a treaty, but treaties are passed by the Senate. And for him to just unilaterally pull us out, there's a legal question of whether he could do it. The problem is, here's the problem. Whether or not he legally could do it, and there's some authority that he could, if the president says we're out, what kind of morale message does that send to our troops? What kind of morale message does that enhance the Russian troops? The president of the United States says we're out. And what he did it by 1,000 cuts. What he kept saying is NATO's no good. Europe is cheating. I don't know why he had this fixation on Europe. He called up Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, and Theresa May at the time, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and just screamed at him. And he called them stupid and weak. He used those words just like that to our allies. And Theresa May was apparently quite shaken by that. Angela Merkel was cooler about it. But how do you think that makes them feel about alliances in the United States? Just doing that. Who cares if he pulls out of NATO when he calls these people up and insults them and shouts at them? But we are back now. Joe Biden's in charge. Coalition is back. 23 countries. Large military ops in the Black Sea in that area. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Mama, take me.